Kate Wells with Michigan Radio. I want to give you a number, 60 days. That is how long universities are supposed to take to investigate sexual assault cases, according to federal recommendations. But at Michigan State University, those investigations can drag on for 7, 8, 9 months. Recently, the federal government slammed MSU for taking too long to investigate sexual assault. But producer Joe Lindstroth and I have been investigating this for months, and we found that the problems at MSU go way deeper than that. So at this point, Shayna is so tired of talking about what happened to her.
But not just her alleged rape, the whole dysfunctional process that followed at MSU.
The thing is, she still is talking about this because she says she's
pretty terrified and pretty scared for other MSU survivors who do report.
Because of the sensitivity of this case, we're only using Shayna's first name.
On Valentine's Day last year, she filed a sexual assault complaint with MSU, saying she had been raped by a fellow student. What she did not know when she filed that complaint was that MSU would then drag her and the accused student through a long, maddening process that even outraged some staff members.
Here's what should have happened.
Shayna files a complaint with the university. That should trigger an investigation. MSU has up to 90 days, according to their own rules at the time, to talk to witnesses, gather evidence, write a report. There's a verdict. It can be appealed. Pretty straightforward.
But here's what actually happened.
MSU took 8 months to investigate Shayna's case. Not 90 days, 8 months. And the verdict at the end of all of that was that Shayna was sexually assaulted, quote, including penetration without her consent. So to decide the punishment, there was a hearing.
It was recorded and lasted, I think, 3 or 4 hours. And that finished, and then they had to make their decision.
And the decision? The male student should be expelled.
Now with his academic career on the line, he appealed. He said the investigator made mistakes, claiming not all the witnesses were interviewed. But the appeals board disagreed, and the expulsion was upheld. After nearly a year, it looked like this ordeal was finally over.
And then Shayna gets an email.
In the middle of class.
It says the accused student has appealed. Again.
This email was addressed to both Shayna and the male student as if they were a couple. And it came from the top, the vice president of student affairs.
I just remember hating her name. I can't remember what it is.
Maybank?
Yes. Maybank. She, apparently she's the last part of the appeal, and she reviews everything.
Vice President of Student Affairs Denise Maybank does have the final say in all of MSU's sexual assault cases. And in this email, she tells them the case is now going to be reopened.
And completely reinvestigated. But this time around, Maybank says she wants to bring in an outside law firm to completely redo this investigation. Staffers we spoke with at MSU were angry about this decision. They felt completely caught off guard. Lauren Allsweed was a sexual assault counselor at MSU at the time.
You can't change midstream. I mean, you can't change the process in the middle of an ongoing investigation. That's not fair to any of the parties involved.
So now we are into the spring of this year, 2015. It's more than a year after Shayna first reported the alleged rape.
And once again, she's answering all kinds of questions about the night she was allegedly assaulted. But this time, it's with a couple of strangers from the law firm of Warner, Norcross, and Judd.
Just having to re-go through everything and having them ask me, do you remember what you were wearing? Or me telling a part of my story and them asking, well, why would you do that? Like, what was your thought process of doing this?
When she walked out of that room, Shayna says she hit a low point in the whole process.
I just remember coming out of that and just kind of feeling that victim blame to myself, where I'm just like, you're right, I am stupid. Like, why did I do this? Like, maybe I shouldn't have done these certain things or like said these things. Like, maybe that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have done that, but. But I just definitely felt like really re-traumatized.
So here was the result of that new investigation.
The case was overturned. The law firm of Warner, Norcross, and Judd decided there wasn't enough evidence to find Shayna had been raped. And the male student graduated.
So let's recap things here. Shayna's case took nearly a year and a half. And while MSU has only brought in an outside law firm in two cases in the last 5 years, it is not unusual for sexual assault cases to drag on far longer than MSU's own policies say they will. Again, this is Lauren Allsweed. She was a sexual assault counselor at MSU until this summer.
Most of the people I worked with, their investigation was 9 months, a year, longer than that.
But students were being told their cases would just take 90 days.
So they end up feeling duped.
And then, of course, there's the fear.
I was terrified all the time.
This is Meg. Like Shayna, we are only going to be using her first name.
You know, I would go to work and he'd be right next door to where I was. Or I would, you know, go to class and he'd be in the same building as me.
Meg says that she was sexually harassed and assaulted by her ex-boyfriend. They met at MSU. He was a grad student and a teaching assistant there, and she was one of his students.
And when Meg told a professor she was scared of this guy, she found out he actually had a record.
It turns out he had broken into the home of a female faculty member the year before. This was also somebody that he had dated. That faculty member got a restraining order. This guy pled guilty in court. But MSU allowed him to continue teaching undergrads long enough for him to meet Meg. When Meg did file a sexual misconduct complaint, MSU told her the investigation should take 90 days.
In reality, it lasted 7 months.
To make matters worse, this summer, Meg got an email from the Title IX office saying that part of a case involving her was being reopened because investigators had failed to interview all the witnesses the first time around.
I was very angry when I got that email. It felt like a slap in the face to me.
While all of this was going on, Meg says she was struggling with depression, anxiety. She was having panic attacks at work. She withdrew from several of her classes, and she moved back in with her parents.
I don't currently feel as though East Lansing is a safe place for me or that Michigan State's a safe environment for me, so we will see. I hope to someday go back and finish my degree because that's important to me. But right now, that just doesn't seem like the best option.
After a 7-month investigation, MSU found that Meg was sexually harassed but not assaulted by her former TA.
Yet even now, Meg's case is still not over.
It's more than a year after she first reported, but her case is still dragging on through the appeals process. Maybe the thing that feels most unfair to Meg is that when she first reported her case to MSU, she really felt comforted by their response.
MSU had a whole team of support services for her.
There was the domestic violence advocate who personally helped her get a restraining order. There was the MSU police detective who would send her emails just to see how she was doing. And most importantly, there was the Title IX investigator who listened to her, who made her feel heard, like her case was important. But what Meg did not know then was that the Title IX investigators at MSU were seriously understaffed.
At the time, MSU had just 2 full-time investigators. And in just 1 year, nearly 100 sexual misconduct cases crossed their desk, with 32 of them requiring full-blown investigations.
And that, of course, is on top of all of the other types of discrimination cases they handle and the Title IX workshops they had to teach to numerous groups on campus.
They were drowning in work.
And sources with knowledge of the Title IX office say there was never a clear answer from MSU as to why more full-time investigators were not being hired, even though administrators knew they were blowing past the investigation deadlines. So here is where we are today. The U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights recently issued a 42-page report on MSU's handling of sexual misconduct.
They looked at 2 cases, neither of which involved Shayna or Meg.
And the feds found pretty much the same thing that we did. MSU was taking way too long and contributing to a, quote, sexually hostile environment. I was on MSU's press call for reporters that day, and one of MSU's lawyers said, yes, we know we have been taking too long to handle cases. MSU president Luana K. Simon said, for the victims, we could have done better.
If you're a student, an individual employee who's experiencing sexual harassment, sexual assault, something covered by Title IX, again, obviously, for those individuals, we could have done better. But I think anyone can say that, and we are doing better.
But what does better actually mean?
Well, for one thing, it could mean not letting your understaffed investigators drown in a tidal wave of cases.
Last year, MSU had just 2 full-time investigators. Now there are 4.
With a 5th one being hired this month, the person who was in charge of the Title IX office now has been moved to a different position. And MSU created new policies to try and speed up investigations and appeals. But the vice president of student affairs can still throw out MSU's own investigations and appeals decisions.
We did ask to interview MSU officials, including Vice President Denise Maybank, but they declined to talk to us. Meanwhile, our sources say things are really getting better. There's more staff, more follow-up, more speed.
But current and former staff say they still do not understand why it took so long to make these changes.
Because the problems, the long investigations, the mistakes, the unexplained changes, the lack of manpower, those things were never a secret inside MSU.
Lauren Allsweet, the former MSU sexual assault counselor, left this summer after 7 years with MSU.
It's made me really sad over the years to question whether I'd encourage someone to come forward.
But she is hopeful that the process is getting better. She sees the good work going on at MSU. She just wants people to understand it is a really difficult process to get right. But she says schools have to get it right for students who've been through sexual assault.
They should be able to go to school without fear, to be able to live in your dorm safely, to go to classes safely. I want people to experience that. I also want them to know the risks of what happens if they report so that they can make an informed decision.
Risks like investigations that take far longer than MSU's own guidelines say they should.
Leaving students feeling left out and confused.
Cases that get completely overturned without anyone ever really explaining why.
And repeat offenders who can, because the system takes so long, remain on MSU's campus for years.
Those are the risks if MSU can't get this process right.
I'm Kate Wells.
I'm Joe Lindstroth, Michigan Radio News.